Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Stadia Cast. I'm Bill. That guy right there is Lloyd. Lloyd, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am tired. I am beat up, but I'm ready to do a podcast. So I can't wait to talk about games that I pretty much haven't played.
You haven't been playing much this week then?
No, it's been a rough week, so not a lot of gaming, unfortunately.
All right, that's fair. So if you guys didn't know, if you're listening to this for the first time or watching this for the first time, this is Stadia Cast. This is where Lloyd and I sit down on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Over at our YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv. Head on over there, click on subscribe and all that other stuff. It really does help out. And we sit down every weekend and we talk about video games. And specifically on this show, we talk about games that are on Google Stadia. So if that sounds good, stick around, strap in. We've got some stuff to talk about. Lloyd, you just said you haven't been playing anything, but you wrote things in the show notes that you have been playing. Yeah. And we've both been playing the first game on this list, and that's Wreckfest. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that game?
Let me couch this conversation with the fact that I've only played on a lawnmower on Wreckfest. I played the first intro race around with lawnmowers and beat people up, and that was great. And then I was like, well, I want to see what actual car racing's like. So I started the first I can't remember what
Junior
the
series?
Cup was called. Yeah, whatever the cup was called, Junior Series, whatever it was. It loaded up to 100% and then the game crashed. I'm like,
oh,
that's weird. So I loaded up the game again and the exact same thing happened. So I tried just before recording and it was working. So I had some weird game crashes. So I only played like one lap of a 3-lap race that wasn't with a lawnmower. But I gotta say, man, Wreckfest impresses me for many different reasons. The first thing that impresses me is it's a slow game. It's not like you're in going 200 miles an hour every time, every vehicle that you're in. So you can kind of line up your shots a little bit when you want to like clip someone on the rear to spin them around or whatever. But then the Junior Series or whatever it's called, there's like all these piles of tires on the side, and if you hit them, individual tires go bouncing across the map. Just a fun game. I really wish I had more time to put into it before the show to really talk about all the various features of it. But man, is it ever fun! There was an old Crash Up Derby game that I played back on like the PlayStation, and I can't remember what it's called. And I should have probably checked before doing this, but I didn't. So we'll have to keep going forward. And there's nothing more fun than racing like 100 miles an hour, whatever your top speed is, towards a car that is partially disabled on the side. And you have to do like the mental math to say, okay, he's moving very slow, so I got to aim about 4 feet in front of him. And then you completely T-bone him and disable the car. I got a lot of those feelings in Wreckfest, and I can't wait to play more. Demolition Derby sounds right, Coda, in the chat room. I think that might have been it. So long ago, I can't remember. But yeah, it brings back those feelings, which I really like.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of Wreckfest, and I think it's definitely a good game. I despise the music. My wife walked in, and I was playing Wreckfest, and she walked and sat down on the couch over there, and she goes, "What are you listening to?" And I was like, I go, "It's just this game that I'm playing. It's terrible music. I could not stand it." She goes, "The early 90s called. They want your playlist back." And oh, I said, God. "Yeah, I know." I don't know if I can enjoy Wreckfest because I'm always... I have trouble going after the other cars. I just want to race. And mm-hmm. So, like, I'm racing and my brain says, don't slam into this. You need to, you know, because you're going to damage your car. And I have trouble getting over that idea of I need to go after this guy and slam into them to take them out. Whereas my brain wants to do more of like a clean race, if that makes sense, which is completely sure. Against everything in this game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of risk versus reward. When you take out the other cars, well, they can't get in front of you in the race then.
Yeah.
So even if you're trying to do like a racy race, not a smashy race, you can like spin, you do like the pit maneuver to knock a car facing backwards, and then it takes them a while to get up to top speed to come challenge you again. Really, really digging it. Again, the most I played was on a lawnmower, so I haven't gotten too much into the actual racing physics, but with the upgrade system, all the unlocks, it seems like it is a very deep game for customization and stuff like that. So I really can't wait to dig into that one a little bit more.
I also do enjoy racing around on like a dirt track. It's a big difference from, I've been playing lots of Forza lately, and sure. Like getting on a dirt track and sliding around the corners and stuff, that feels really good. I also, on Forza, when you hit something, like if you're doing multiple laps on a race and you like hit something and like there's debris on the road, the next time you come around, everything's fixed. Like they have a team of people that come out and they're like, let's put all the cones back. But in Wreckfest, when you, like you said, slam into that stack of tires on the side of the track, mm-hmm. all that stuff stays there. So the next time you come around, it's still there. And I feel like that's a little more, it doesn't take me out of it like it did in Forza. When I come around the corner, I'm like, come on, I had trouble going around that corner and I knocked down a bunch of stuff. Why is that stuff not there anymore? So I definitely like that. I think that Wreckfest is of, I did a poll at the beginning of the show and I said, hey, which of the December Pro games did you guys like the most? And I couldn't add all of them, but because there were six, but Wreckfest won with 62%. Most people like Wreckfest most out of all of those games. And I can see why. It's really fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those games where it's nice to have to kind of palate cleanse. It's gonna be one of those palate cleanse games where I'm just played an RPG and I wanna get that taste out of my mouth. So I'm gonna play some Wreckfest for a race and then go do whatever the next game I wanted to play was. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a different RPG or whatever. I like having games like that. I used the Crew 2 like that for a while if I just wanted to chill. 15 minutes to kind of center myself a little bit and fly around and do stuff like that. I think Wreckfest is going to fit that bill a little bit going forward.
All right, let's move on and talk about another pro game that came out, Transformers Battleground. We both played it. I did not play much of it. I mean, look, it's Transformers based on toys, but I heard that it was a strategy game. So when I sat down to play it, I was expecting something, I don't want to say like adult, but the voice acting immediately turned me off from the game. I was like, oh, this feels like I'm watching a kid's cartoon show, which fine. And it's great that kids get to play a strategy game, but it's definitely grating, if that makes sense.
Sure. Interesting voice acting, not because of the voice actors, but because of the script. Completely get that. The game itself is by Outright Games, which skews young normally. So you could pretty much guess that this was going to be kind of a younger kind of game. It's very much Transformers set on the more modern cartoons and toys, mm-hmm. not so much the old stuff. But it does kind of play like Fisher-Price, My First XCOM. That's kind of what the game is. It's kind of teaching yes. what turn-based strategy games are. I dig it. I played through the first chapter, so I think it was four little missions. It seems like each one you're adding new Transformers and you're fighting new Decepticons. It has some really interesting parts. It has kind of like the Overwatch function from XCOM where you can kind of have like a sniper. And if anybody enters the sniper's view, you take a pot shot, even if it's not your turn, things like that. So it's kind of more of an introduction to what kind of an XCOM kind of game is. But it's fun. I'm enjoyed it. I only played the first chapter. I think there's four chapters in the game, 20-ish levels. So I think I did five. So maybe a quarter of the way through the levels, but the levels get longer and longer as you play through them. So I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. This game originally came out, I believe, on like phones, and then it was ported to the Switch, and then was ported to all the other things. So you can kind of you can kind of feel that mobile DNA a little bit on this game, which isn't a bad thing in this particular title. But you have to kind of get your head around the fact that it does skew way young compared to, say, like an 80s Transformers cartoon would be a little bit more gritty and I don't know, more violent. This is more like Transformers with rounded edges.
With rounded edges, I like that. And that's exactly the same feel that I got when I was playing it. I was like, I think this feels like it was a mobile game. And then I Googled Transformers Battlegrounds, and it just came up Nintendo Switch and Xbox and stuff like that. I was like, oh, I guess I was wrong. So if I had clicked maybe a few more links, I would have found out that it was a mobile game. But it definitely feels like a mobile game. And I've said a million times I'm not a fan of most mobile games. So it didn't appeal to me, but that's okay. Not everything has to appeal to me. It's not like I'm running out of games to play. You've been playing more Dragon Ball Z. Anything new to talk about there?
No, that's kind of I've had a really rough week for personal life, work. Everything that could go wrong this past week went wrong. So I've been using Dragon Ball Z as I have 20 minutes before I have to go to bed. Let's play something. So I've been running around, playing a lot of Dragon Ball Z. It is so good. The only thing that I don't like about it, and it's only because of my time limitations right now, is the game has a habit of locking you into basically like an hour of cutscenes that are interspersed randomly with like little fights. So you'll have 10 minutes of two characters talking, and then you fight that character, and then someone else comes in and there's 5 minutes talking with that new person, and then there's another fight, and that whole process can take an hour, which is rough when you only have like 20 minutes before bed. Yeah. and stuff like that. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm in the final chapter. I've unlocked the rest of the map that was locked up. What a great game. This might be one of my favorite Stadia experiences that I've had this year. Just the fact that I'm playing it, I'm learning what happened in the whole Dragon Ball Z storyline. And all things that I wanted to do for like the last 15 years was catch up on Dragon Ball Z, and I never did. And just playing through this game for like 20, 30 hours has basically given me the whole storyline without having to pick up a manga or watch the old anime or whatever. I'm really, really digging it. Obviously not a game for everybody. It's very story focused and very anime story focused. So it has those over the top voice acting things that is, one of the main parts of anime that you either love or hate, and I love it. And Dragon Ball Z Kakarot has just been one of those great games for me to kind of center myself before I have to go to bed and then wake up the next morning.
Yeah, when you say really, really long cutscenes, it reminds me of games like Judgment or Yakuza 6, where like the cutscenes are exceedingly long, super interesting, like really, really good stuff. But man, I mean, like having them be that long and not being able to save whenever you want. This is where one of the things that I would love to see on Stadia would be amazing is if they would bring in that ability to just say, save where I am right now, like you can with a Switch or an Xbox, where you just turn it off and come back to it later. That would just be amazing for that kind of experience where, you know, Lloyd's playing a game, doesn't have enough time, and doesn't want to rewatch cutscenes over and over and over again because he couldn't finish it before or couldn't get to the next save point before he had to log off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's, I don't know. I really enjoy it. And was chatting in the Discord, the Nerdnest Discord. People asking questions about it. So it seems like there's other people that are interested in a game, even though there might be long cutscenes and stuff like that. There's so much story. Some of these animes have had like 1,000 episodes of a TV series. And it's just like it's just an amazing amount of content. And for them to put a lot of that content kind of, I don't know, it's been boiled down to its core components. It's obviously not all the fluff that you'd had over all those episodes, but it's gonna be a heck of a lot of fun to finish this off and kind of learn sort of the whole storyline from start to finish.
Yeah. I've been playing Foreclosed. I know that you played and finished that, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's only about 4 hours long, so yeah. I think you could probably beat that one as well, Bill. Yeah. It's decent.
Even though I've got like a tiny little attention span, I can probably do it. I really like the aesthetic that they're going for with this, and I love how they keep switching between the different views and even seeing two views at the same time. And I love the world that they're building. So I played a little bit of that, and I am enjoying it. I don't have anything to report on because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but it's definitely enjoyable. And, you know, if you're a Stadia Pro member, then you can play it without having to pay any extra money. So I definitely would recommend checking it out. As far as the pro games that I've played, Wreckfest and Foreclosed, those are the two that I am enjoying the most. The rest of them, not really my cup of tea. I did play a little bit of Falconeer, and that one seems cool, but I didn't spend enough time with it to really be able to say much about it. You played a bunch of Falconeer before, right?
Yeah. Well, not a bunch, maybe a third of the content that was in it on Xbox. And then I've played a little less than that on Stadia. Just there's been other games that have taken me away from it. I really, really dig the game. The flight controls are amazing. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think they're probably my second favorite flight controls, because that's been beaten out by Chorus. Mm-hmm. I love the way Chorus controls, which we'll chat a little bit about in a little bit. Falconeer is fantastic. It really does aerial dogfights in a way that isn't annoying, without any of the special powers that you get down the road in Chorus. So really good. The story is fantastic. And saw on Twitter this week that the one-man development team of Falconeer is looking at expanding the world. So other games set in that world, which is pretty fantastic. So congrats to them. And check out Falconeer. It's a decent title.
I really like the mechanics where you dive in order to build energy, and then you can use that energy in order to boost yourself. I also like the idea when, you know, you have to recharge by flying through thunderstorms to recharge your weapon. And I love the art style of Falconeer. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I really, really like the animation as well. When you're banking in that game, it feels really cool.
Oh, just looking at the wings of your bird when you're going around, and they kind of like curve under, so you get more aerodynamic as you're twisting and turning and diving. And just the animation alone is fantastic. And the actual flying controls are like part and parcel of that animation. Like, it's not like you have weird animation and clunky controls. Everything seems to be locked on, which is rare in gaming. You'll play games that have amazing animation, but the movement doesn't match that really slick, fluid animation. Or you'll have really good controls, but it's like 3 frames a second of animation as you're going through. It seems like they knocked it out of the park on Falconeer. It looks and it feels epic, pretty much the whole time. Even if you're just flying from one island to another, it still feels like an epic journey that you're taking as you're going on, because of all the water effects and the lightning and the wind and the rain and all the other stuff that's happening in the world. Really, really good title.
All right. And you brought up Chorus, so let's talk about that. But just so everybody knows, Lloyd and I haven't been playing it on Stadia. We've been playing it on another platform, so we can't really talk about the graphics on Stadia or like how responsive it is on Stadia. And we don't want to spoil any story stuff either, but we do want to bring up the fact that, you know, months ago, when Chorus was first announced, the developer had said, oh, and by the way, it's going to have ray tracing on Stadia with like Gen 2 blades and everything. And everybody was like, really? It's kind of weird that you're announcing this. And now the game came out, it doesn't have that. And, you know, people are like, ah, see? But it also doesn't have that anywhere. Like, no platform has ray tracing. What are your thoughts on that, Lloyd?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. I know ray tracing does take some time to get in, because there's a lot. It taxes your GPU and your CPU. It has the chance to tax it, depending on what your game engine is like. So they must have had it running at some point and then said, you know what, we need to ship this. So let's pull this out. They've promised that ray tracing will be coming to the Steam version, the PC version, at some point in the near future with a patch. I'm assuming that means that ray tracing is going to come to all the different platforms, but we don't know that for sure. The game itself plays fantastic, controls fantastic. The flying, the way that you fly around the world, because Chorus is a game where you are in space in a spaceship, and that is pretty much you're never out of your ship and walking around. That happens sometimes during cutscenes, but you're always in your ship. It's like your ship is your body. So what they've done is they've made the controls very much like a first person shooter. So your camera controls are the right stick, your movement controls are the left stick, and if you hit left or right real quick, you do kind of like a strafe dodge. So this is like even before you unlock a power that makes it even better. I found that the dogfight controls in the start of Chorus were better than pretty much any other game that I've done dogfighting in. They're really good. And then they add something which essentially allows you to turn your ship into like a turret that can move on its own, irregardless of your momentum. And then that just opens the whole game up. So I'm really excited to unlock some of the powers and some of the other stuff that we've seen in the trailers. It is really good. Unfortunately, haven't started it on Stadia, so I don't know how it performs or plays, but the game itself is pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, I will say this. And Lloyd and I kind of talked about this yesterday, I think it was. I struggle with that left stick because when you're playing a first-person shooter, you're like always doing something with the left stick all of the time. On Chorus, unless you are accelerating or decelerating or trying to dodge, touching that left stick is probably a mistake. And I struggle to keep my thumb off that stick because what I found that I was always doing is just always pushing the forward button all the time and sometimes dodging when I didn't mean to because I've got my thumb on the stick and I'm treating it, like you said, like a first-person shooter. And it's really hard for me. So I definitely enjoy the controls once I've got my thumb off of that stick and once I unlock that drifting ability, which I really, really like.
Yeah. When they first gave me the drift ability, I was just like, what is this? I don't understand. I have to hold down how many buttons at the same time? Obviously, I misread what they put up on the screen initially because you basically just hold down a button and then you can rotate your ship with the right stick however you want. And I'm like, okay, this is way easier than I was making it out to be. And then the next time I was in a dogfight, you can basically just like boost ahead and then engage turret mode is what I call it. And then you can just target every other ship that's around you. And it's like, oh my God, this is the best dogfighting I've ever done in a video game. They're knocking it out of the park for that regard with Chorus. But I want to see kind of what comes down the road. Is ray tracing going to hit every platform? I know the Steam version has DLSS support, which does have a bit of a tax on your GPU and your CPU, or it has the potential to. So looks like ray tracing is a possibility in the near future. I want to see what that looks like. But then the million-dollar question will be, if ray tracing comes to every platform, will it also come to Stadia? And we obviously don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, my gut says no, because like the hardware that Stadia uses doesn't actually natively support ray tracing. But it just seems so weird that the developer had come out and said specifically that it was coming to Stadia. That's such a weird thing. I before we move on from Chorus, I have a question for you about the tight space parts of the game. So the dogfighting, I adore. I think it's fantastic. The parts where you are in like a super narrow tunnel, like Lando Calrissian flying through the middle of the Death Star at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Sure.
Man, I cannot stop just slamming into walls on that, or I have to go really, really slow. Do I just need to get good, or is that something that you're running into as well?
You definitely need to get good. I also need to get good. We all need to get good. I think what will fix that a lot is when you have the drift ability, which at the start of the game you didn't have. So it was very like the world was very tight and small, and you're going slowly through these corridors. It reminded me a lot of Descent back on like my 486 when I started playing Descent, one of my favorite old games, like old DOS games, where you're going through big, I guess they were underground bunkers, but you didn't really ever get above ground in Descent. You're just kind of going from one place to another. But a lot of interesting little corridors that are branching off from each other, and you have to keep adjusting your pitch and everything so that you can see them and fly through them. It reminded me a lot of that. Another nice thing that Chorus does that I really appreciate is if you're flying through space or in a corridor or whatever, and you don't touch your right stick for, say, 5 seconds, the game automatically reorients you mm-hmm. to what is the base view. So your ship would have been flying like this, and then all of a sudden it just goes, whoop, and then that allows, like, it, me, I don't know for everybody else, but for me, it allows me to pick out a kind of like the I've seen that asteroid before. Oh, that's where the base is. Oh, that's where the big subspace jump thing is. Okay, now I know where I am. It allows me to kind of positionally know where I am in the world a little bit better. So that's a really nice feature addition, which I thought of that when we were talking about Descent, because I believe Descent did that every once in a while as well.
Yeah, is there a button to do that? Like, because my there is, because I was hitting the buttons and it didn't happen for me.
You click in the right stick, I believe. You hold the right stick, click in, and then it will write you to whatever the base, whatever normal is, whatever the game says this is how you started.
Yeah,
it'll rotate you to that position.
Yeah, I really do love the dogfighting, and I think that the narrow corridor stuff, the part that I have the worst problem with is where you have to shoot the gates in order to open them, and you have to like fly past the gates, go into drift mode, shoot them, and just keep spinning around to hit them all. And I don't know, maybe I'm trying to go too fast, but I just run into issues with that, and it's very frustrating. I love the game, but I like the game, but I kept setting my controller down and being like, oh, I can't believe I missed that again. But I do think from what the version that I've been playing, very pretty game, great controls, dogfighting is fantastic. I just want, you know what I really want? I want an online version of just the dogfighting where it's just an open world and you're flying around shooting at each other with this dogfighting stuff, because it feels really good.
I want it in VR. Like as soon as they unlock the drift mode, which means that your ship could be going this direction, but you could be aiming in that direction. I want that in VR. I want to feel the sensation of traveling forward, but looking in other directions. I think that would just be such a trip. And
a vomit inducer.
Yeah, it could be the vomit comet for sure. But man, the game is good. I really hope that I can check it out on Stadia soon to see how it compares. But I'm loving what I'm playing so far, playing on the PC version through GeForce Now.
Awesome. All right, let's move on to not this week on Stadia. What's it called now? It's called Next Up on Stadia. And I accidentally opened up the wrong one. Next Up on Stadia, last episode, Lloyd and I were saying, hey, Jackbox 8, really cool. Would be nice to get the other Jackbox games. And now Jackbox Party Pack 7 is coming to Google Stadia as well. I'm semi-excited for that, but all of my excitement for that was completely drowned out by the other announcement, which we'll talk about in a second. Lloyd, are you going to be playing Jackbox Party Pack 7?
Yeah. Like, my family had so much fun with 8, which I gotta say, the games in 8 aren't my favorite in the whole Jackbox world that I've played. But they were fun enough, and everybody enjoyed them. Giving them 5 new games to play, I think is going to be a really good thing. So I'll definitely be playing some Jackbox Party Pack 7 at some point. It comes out on December 7th as well, which is great. So 2 weeks.
2 days.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, we got 2 versions of Jackbox. So hopefully this continues into the future. And it would be nice to see some free play weekends or pro versions of these to get more people playing, because I think this is a great thing for streamers. With the streamer mode that's built right into Stadia, you could easily stream it out, have people join. You don't even need voice chat for the most part, although voice chat does make things better. I'm excited for the future of more Jackbox on Stadia.
Absolutely. Jackbox, I don't think I've played 7. I think I have 2, 3, 4, and 5. I don't think I have 6 or 7. Especially because, like, The Devil's in the Details, I don't know that one. And Champed Up, I don't know that one either. So some of these are new to me. But it's definitely, it's great to see more. Like, if you have not played one of these games, I think that there's a lot of people out there who have a TV that has Android TV on it or whatever, and they can easily do this, and they don't have any other console. There's going to be a lot of people who have nothing but Jackbox games on Stadia, and they play nothing else because this is the only thing that is really interesting to them. But they're still able to play it without having to go out and buy a Nintendo Switch or an Xbox or whatever. Like, I remember when my daughter went off to college, I went out and bought her an HDMI cord so that she could plug her laptop into a TV so that her and her friends could play Jackbox on the TV, which, you know, like that kind of thing is not needed anymore because you can easily play Jackbox streaming on Google Stadia.
Yeah.
All right.
The best part of Jackbox is every other player just needs a mobile phone. They don't need anything else. There's no controllers. You don't have to pair 8 controllers to Stadia or any other platform. They just bring out their phone, scan a QR code, punch in a code. That's it. So good. And it's going to be good for people that love to use the built-in streaming with Stadia to play with their friends.
You know, something else occurs to me, and I don't know if I just didn't notice this, but whenever I'm playing Jackbox, and most of them are on my Nintendo Switch, I always have to, like, midway through the game, I have to reach over and wiggle the controller, and because the screen will start to go dim. I can't remember if that's something that happens, because that drives me crazy. I'll be sitting there and looking at my phone, and somebody will be like, wiggle the controller, and I'm like, oh, okay, because you don't have to touch the controller for most of the game. And I can't remember if that's something that happens on the Stadia version. Let us know if you're watching this, because I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Really not sure.
All right. This one I'm very excited for. If you had told me a couple of years ago that I would be excited for a Dynasty Warriors game, I would have told you that you're a liar. But after playing Hyrule Warriors, Fire Emblem Warriors, and Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, all Nintendo Switch games, I'm sold on the Warriors formula, if that makes sense. Sure. And most of the time I don't like button mashers, and the Dynasty Warriors games are absolutely button mashers, but Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires is coming to Google Stadia, and I'm excited for this game. These games are incredibly fun. If you've never played one of these kind of games before, you have like a battle map where you have to strategize. I'm going to have this character go this direction, this character go this direction, and this character go this direction. And I can hit a button to switch between the characters. And then as you move around the map, you're trying to take over control points, and you're controlling everything. But you have to take over control points. And so you focus on, we'll say, character A, and they will just take out hundreds upon hundreds of enemies that are coming at, like, you will have a swarm of 100 enemies coming at you, and you will swipe at them with your sword and take them all out in one swing, which sounds ridiculous, but it is incredibly fun and really, really awesome. So I'm excited for this one. This will be my first traditional Dynasty Warriors, or as most people call them, Musou games. Have you ever played any of these that are not like the Nintendo themed ones?
Yeah, I played them back in the day. I had a girlfriend that really loved the old Dynasty Warriors games. I don't like Dynasty Warriors games up until the Nintendo versions came out, and I'm like, oh, I love these games. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the setting. Like, I don't have any sort of love to, like, ancient Japanese generals fighting another ancient Japanese general that I know nothing about. Like, I don't have that knowledge, so it doesn't I don't know, excite me to play more. But when I'm fighting as Link and I know that I have to fight this Bokoblin, and if I do, maybe I'll unlock another character. For some reason, that was enough of a carrot on a stick to keep me going. I loved Hyrule Warriors and Age of Calamity, some of my favorite games on the Switch as a platform. I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. I'd love to give it a go and see if maybe playing the Nintendoized versions of a Musou game makes me appreciate that formula a little bit more. Maybe I just didn't give it enough time in the past. I'm eagerly anticipating a chance to play it for Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires whenever that comes to Stadia.
You know, it's funny how like the Nintendoized version kind of maybe unlocked something in your brain, because for me, I like when like games like Dirt 5 or whatever were announced, or Grid. People have heard me say it on the show 1,000 times. Just give me Mario Kart. I don't really care about these kind of games. Playing Forza on my Xbox, like, I was really, really enjoying that. And then when Dirt 5 came to Stadia and I played that, I was like, oh, okay. It unlocked, Forza unlocked something in my brain that made me enjoy these other, I'm going to say realistic, which is not realistic, but these less arcadey racing titles allowed me to enjoy them a little bit more. So I'm probably right in the same boat. If you had given me a Dynasty Warriors game before playing Fire Emblem Warriors or Hyrule Warriors, I probably would have just said, this is dumb. But the carrot and the stick that you're talking about kind of trains you how that game works, and it might be better. I really like the whole battle map thing, where you look at the battle map and you're trying to figure out, okay, I got to get to this place by now. I'm going to pause for a second and send this guy over here so that he can get maybe halfway there by the time I take this fortress, and then I can switch to him. Like, that kind of strategy is not apparent when you first start playing these games. They just feel like a stupid button masher, but there's a lot more depth to them, I think, even though there's a lot of button mashing too.
Yeah. What I'll say about these games is what I said to my kids when they were young. You might think you don't like broccoli, but it's because you haven't tried broccoli. Sometimes you just need to eat your broccoli and you'll find out that you really like broccoli. And I got to keep doing that with gaming. I might think that I don't like this genre because I've played one of those games on the Super Nintendo and it wasn't very good. But we've come a long way since the Super Nintendo till now. So maybe I just got to try playing games that look like broccoli. And I don't like broccoli. Actually, I love broccoli. I love
that's
broccoli.
That's funny. I don't.
Broccoli of video games.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Broccoli. I don't know how I feel about it. I like broccoli. I don't like it cooked. I like raw broccoli. It's better that way. All right. Moving on from the broccoli. Let's talk about the Stadia 3.44 for Android has been like broken down by 9to5 Google, and they found some kind of cool stuff in there. There's a search revamp. I don't care about the search revamp. I know that when we first ran into issue, or when it first came out, the fact that there was no search in Stadia from Google, it was ridiculous and meme inducing and kind of just it was really dumb that it shipped without search. That being said, I don't know. The search has worked fine for me if I want to find something. So yeah. I don't know why everybody's excited about that.
Well, the search is okay, but it's one of those things where you're looking at all games. Well, you can't search, you can't filter, and it looks like that is what's going to be coming in the search revamp. So you could be looking at the a sale page, and it's like, well, there's 50 things on this one. Let's type in Borderlands to see if Borderlands 3 is on sale, and boom, there it is. I really dig that because there's only 200 games on Stadia, or there is 200 games, depending if you think that's a lot or not a lot. But everything's listed together. A lot of the DLC is listed together. A lot of the like coin packs for Destiny is in the same thing when you look at all games. Some of it is, some of it isn't. It's really confusing. So having better ways to access this data or to get at this data was needed. And it looks like this is a big step in the right direction.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because I never use the app for that stuff. Like, I always just go to the website and I never use the app. And the website has had search on there for a while. So I think that's really what the issue is that people like to use the app. And I do understand that. But I never use Stadia on my phone ever. So I usually just because I got to use the clip thing. And I don't know if you guys have used like the new iPhones. This thing is heavy. It's really heavy. And I just never play it that way. So I'm always just either, if I want to buy something, I go into the browser and buy it that way. And so that has had search for quite a long time at this point. So, okay, yeah. that's definitely a fair point. The part that I think is more interesting to me is this stream spectating thing. So yeah. Right now, it's crazy that you can do it, although Lloyd and I expected them to be able to do this, and it took them a really long time to get there. When you are playing on Stadia, you can basically, you could just start a stream. It goes to your YouTube channel, and that stream can be all the way up to 4K. For a long time, it was capped at 1080p, but now it can be all the way up to 4K, which if you want to stream at 4K, I would say 99% of people who are streamers cannot do that. I can't do that. I don't think Lloyd can do that. Both our computer hardware probably can't handle it, and our internet connection probably can't handle it. But if you want to stream Stadia games, you could just hit a button and it'll start streaming it at 4K. And it looks like they're bringing in the ability so that if I'm looking at a game, either like on a friends list or something, but if I'm looking at a game like either in the store or on a friends list on my phone, it'll show people who are streaming it right now. That seems really cool.
Yeah, I think they're going to probably show that stuff there, similar to what Steam does now. Like if you go to a game page, you could see the official streams for that game, people that are streaming it that have been whitelisted by that publisher. Those streams will show right on that store page. It'll be nice if developers can do something like that as well. But where I assume this is going to be viewed the most would be, say, on the Explore tab. Mm-hmm. So whenever someone on your friends list starts a stream, Stadia stream, so one that is started from Stadia and managed through Stadia, that would just appear on the Explore page, and then you can go click on it, watch it on YouTube, or spectate, which to me brings up what you can do on, say, a PlayStation right now. Like if I'm on my PS4 and Bill's streaming something on his PS4 using the built-in streaming, I can spectate right from my system, or Bill can say, hey, want to see something cool, and he can send me a spectate link on my PlayStation, and I can watch a stream directly from his PlayStation to me, not through YouTube or Twitch or anything else. So to me, this is what this is going to be. I could stream a game just for close friends, and it's not actually going to my YouTube page for everybody to watch. I hope that is what this is leading to, because I like streaming, but I don't like streaming all the time. I don't want to be on all the time when I'm playing video games. But also, I love playing games with friends. And it would be nice if I could say, hey, you want to check out this cool part of the map? And I just send a link to a couple buddies. They click it. They're watching YouTube of what I'm doing. And then we can chat in Discord or whatever without having to set up a stream and deal with the chat and all the other stuff that comes along with streaming when you just want to chill out for an evening while gaming.
Not only that, first off, in the to bring it back to what we talked about earlier, that would be perfect for Jackbox, so that you could play with friends without having some weirdos show up and wreck everything, because it's very easy to have weirdos show up and wreck everything in a game like Jackbox. But you were talking about the PlayStation and being able to see what the other people are doing. If you don't have a good upload speed, it's not really a good experience. So like, let's say that Lloyd doesn't have the best internet and he's like, hey, I'm doing this cool thing in Spider-Man, Bill. Come, you can watch and see what happens, or I can show you how to do this cool thing. So I load it up and his internet's crappy. I'm seeing a slideshow. That's not going to happen on Google Stadia, because Stadia doesn't care what your upload speed is. It only cares about your download speed. And that is really, really key for something like this, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. And I saw something on Reddit, which doesn't seem to be part of this 9to5 Google article, where at one point in one of the APKs, there was some code in the APK about passing control to one of your spectators, which is what you can do on PlayStation. You could be, I could not be able to beat a level, and it's like, Bill, you're really good at this level. Can you just come and just beat it for me? And then Bill can view my stream. He can request control. I can pass control. He can get through that tricky platforming and then give control back to me. If they can do that with Stadia, that would be fantastic. And since it's just a YouTube stream, which is coming to you, whether you're playing a game or viewing a game, it's pretty much the exact same stream. I don't see why there would be any issue why that couldn't happen. So I'm excited for this as a new Stadia feature. It'll be interesting to see how it all kind of like forms over the next couple months as these things make their way from just being in the APK for testers to actually being launched and usable by everybody on Stadia.
Yeah, this you know, the conversation that we're having right now makes me think of, you know, the whiteboard, the roadmap, these things that yeah. everybody's like, Stadia has no plans. Yeah, they do. We just don't know about them until they tell us about them. And they clearly have deep integration planned between YouTube and Stadia. And like YouTube gaming has been making a lot of moves lately. And I think that there's a lot of things that right now, nobody, us included, have thought of as really good ideas that can only happen because of things like Stadia. And we're going to see that stuff. And when we do, we're going to be like, oh, okay. Well, that was their plan. And, you know, of course, some publications will be like, Stadia finally adds blah, 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 or whatever.
Yeah. And I think it's just a lot of people don't have a knowledge of how companies like Google do work for programming. So it's not like PlayStation, where they work for a long time in the back end. They come up with new features and then they push out a firmware and then everybody has access to them. Mm-hmm. Google has a more iterative approach to programming normally or development normally. So they'll launch something. And what we don't understand is that this took six other launches to get there. So when they want to do messaging, let's pretend that Stadia doesn't have any way to send messaging back and forth. Well, first they would work on a way for communications to pop up on two different screens. So that would be something that they developed. Then they'd work on a thing. Okay, let's store this message history in such a way so that we can filter it down the road later for privacy concerns or whatever. Okay, we got that working. Okay, let's add this on top. Let's add this on top, adding like little Lego bricks. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we have person-to-person messaging. Here you go. Everybody can access it. Not realizing that there's like six other Lego bricks underneath that had to be built first before that feature could be there. And that's kind of how Google does it. They're more of a modern kind of iterative development house. And that happens with all of their products, where they come out very bare bones and then they eventually add more and more functionality as time progresses. That's just not what we're used to for a gaming platform, because we get the full PS5 comes out. We know exactly what the PlayStation 5 is because everybody has the same firmware, same hardware, same everything. And then 6 to 12 months later, we get an update that adds a new feature. Stadia is just always adding these little features, and maybe something like what we're going to talk about next, the suggested replies toggle on or off, or the ability to do suggested replies. People are saying, well, why wasn't that there all the time? Well, they had to build a bunch of stuff to get to that place. It was probably always a goal. It just took a couple steps to get there. Not that they're slow. They just have a different way of doing development.
Yeah, before we get to the suggested replies thing, I've got a simile for Stadia's, for Google's development procedure. Pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. We all locked ourselves in our houses for a long time. I looked at my son get taller and taller and taller and taller and taller and taller slowly over yeah. time. When things finally opened up so that like my daughter could come visit us, because she went away to college or whatever. She came back and she saw him and she was like, whoa, holy cow, you're like really tall now. And I was like, yeah, he is. But like, it was a big shock to her because she didn't get to see it slowly happen over time. Whereas everybody else, we're like, okay, yeah, we slowly get to see that increment a little bit at a time. And Google is kind of like that slow incrementation. And the other platforms, right, because they're shipping a box that goes under your TV and stays there for years and years and years, they have to do things all at once. And that's just another way to look at it. The suggested replies thing, So why don't you tell people about this? Because we've had this for a while.
Yeah, we had the suggested replies, but I think there's a toggle now where you can turn that on or off. Because whenever there's suggested replies, people are like, Google's reading all my messages and someone's typing these things in. They have millions of people that are sitting in data centers just typing in suggested replies. And that's not really how it goes. Google analyzes the text of the message and says, okay, they talked about, do you want to play a game tonight? Well, then the suggested replies are like, sure, sorry, I can't. I don't own that game would be the ones that would come from it because of the keywords in the message that was sent to you. People are worried, well, Google's analyzing and looking at all my messages, where that's really not the case. AI is doing it. But to calm the fear of those people, there's just going to be a toggle where you can just turn that off. So there is no there's no suggested replies. So Google is not analyzing the messages that are coming into your profile.
Now, I don't usually communicate through Stadia. Usually if I'm playing a game with somebody, we're talking on Discord or something or a text message. Yeah. I will say this, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like there's been times where I have only had the option to do suggested replies and I've not been able to type anything at all. And I'm assuming that was on like the Chromecast Ultra.
But
like, why not have a keyboard? Like, why can't I hit a button and have a keyboard pop up? Because maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I'm imagining this, but I feel like I remember somebody sending me a message. I opened it up and I had the option to just pick one of the suggested replies, which is what I did. But I didn't have any way to send a custom message because maybe one of the replies didn't apply to what I wanted to say.
Yeah. And that kind of just shows the iterative approach to development that Google does. Instead of making sure that they have a full messaging platform that is the same on every single client that can possibly connect to Stadia, they said, oh, okay, well, the Chromecast doesn't have a keyboard, so let's do suggested replies for now. Maybe we'll add something down the road, maybe voice to text or something, but let's launch it with this. Well, other platforms have all these other functionalities that are built in just because they're on platforms that have like a hardware keyboard.
You mentioned the voice to text. Oh my God. Remember back in the day when we first started this show, I kept saying, hey, Google, give... Oh no. Sorry if I set off anybody's stuff. Give us a way to hit that assistant button and have it type for us. We still don't have that.
I don't think the assistant button really does anything. People say it does. I'm not convinced that it does anything because every time I hit it, I just get an error message.
Yeah, you can use it to launch
can launch games. But that's
how much effort does it take to launch a game? It's just, boy, that assistant button really... they made the announcements back before the pandemic hit and they had to put things on back burners and they got to solve these problems one at a time. But like when they showed us off the idea where you could say, hey, assistant, show me how to beat this level. And they showed in Tomb Raider, like how to do that.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a cool thing. And we still don't have it.
I really wish that would happen. I want to use that. Not that I would use it for a lot of games, but I think it was a cool way to kind of use the synergy between having YouTube as your platform that is feeding the data to Stadia and also the platform for how most people consume content these days as one would have been really nice. But we're sadly not there yet.
Yeah. It would also be nice if I wanted to stream a game, I could just hold down that button and say, hey, let's stream this to YouTube. And it just does it. Like that kind of stuff would be cool. And I don't know how hard that would be to implement because when you hold down that button and you say things, it knows exactly what you're saying. Like they're very good at speech recognition. So anyway, let's move on and talk about, speaking of voice and your controller, we have a... Stoked for Good on Twitter tweeted this out. They said, I've been waiting for you. Stadia clips now include voice. And it says basically clips can now include your voice. If you save a clip when you're in game chat or now live streaming directly to YouTube, your voice will now be captured along with any others in chat. Now we saw like APK stuff for this a long time ago where they were like, this is coming. And we know that at some point there's a permission somewhere where you can say, don't do this, which is great. What do you think about this? That's kind of cool because people can clip something and say, oh man, I can't believe that happened. And then when you go to the to Stadia on the Explore page, it's going to be there, and that person will be like, oh man, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, exactly. I like that this is going to come. The clips, including voice, totally make sense. I mean, that is how clips work on Twitch. It would make sense that that would be how they work on YouTube as well, with these clips essentially being YouTube links. It totally makes sense that this would be coming. One thing that we've seen this year that's not really Stadia related is we've seen YouTube invest in a lot of streamers. So they brought Tim the Tatman, they brought Dr. Lupo, Dr. Disrespect, a bunch of big Twitch streamers are now YouTube streamers. And one thing, Courage JD has been there for a long time as well. And one thing that they've said is that they want YouTube to be as good a streaming platform as Twitch. So these big brains that do a lot of streaming day in and day out are directly impacting what is coming to YouTube as far as features. So what I hope is that in the future, we'll be able to hit stream on Stadia. It'll set up a stream without us having to have another window. We don't have to set permissions. We don't have to do all this other stuff. It'll just figure it out like Twitch. You'll start streaming on your channel, and then you can have a lot of these other features make a lot of sense as to why they've been implemented now. They'll all just come together at some point and completely make sense based on the feature requests from all these million-dollar contracts that they're signing with all these big streamers.
Yeah, my only gripe with this, and it's not even a gripe, it's just something that I'd like changed, is you have to be in game chat or you have to be live streaming. I wish that there was a way where if I'm playing a game, I can just say, hey, have the microphone on. That way, if something cool happens, I can capture it, even if I'm not in live chat or not in a game chat or not in a live stream. Because otherwise, if I'm just playing like a single player game, like, I don't know, Grime, and right. I fought this boss 400 times, and on the 401st time I defeat them and I'm super excited and I hit that clip button, my voice isn't recorded because I wasn't in a voice chat with anybody. And that's too bad. And it would be bad to have it on automatically, but giving people the option to say, hey, let's turn that on so that we can always utilize the voice chat. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of features that need to come, but it's encouraging to see these little things slowly make their way out. And like I said, you can see, you might not be able to see what building they're building because of all the Lego bricks are kind of in weird places, but eventually all those bricks will click into place and we'll see, this is what Stadia had planned from day one. And now we're just seeing it because they've built the full, Batman Batcave Lego thing that they're building.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to, something that has gone away and come back, and that is surround sound. Mm-hmm. They made it so that basically there was a toggle where if you, like, you could go in and toggle this one setting for surround sound. And surround sound was causing some kind of problem with a lot of people. For instance, I was playing Far Cry 6, and I couldn't hear any of the dialogue because I had turned on surround sound. And I only because somebody had mentioned it in a previous episode of StadiaCast, somebody being that guy right there, did I know to go in and turn off surround sound, and that fixed it. Well, it looks like Google had taken that away for a little bit and now it's back. So it seems like maybe if you had turned it off in response to that kind of thing, maybe try turning it back on and seeing if if that issue is fixed for you, because the surround sound option is now back. Any thoughts on that, Lloyd?
No, it's good. Whatever bug was happening, hopefully is completely squashed. I know there was surround sound issues on a bunch of different platforms. It wasn't just Stadia. So it makes me wonder if it was just a, like a Dolby Vision profile came out. Like this is the stock profile that you're going to use on all the different platforms. And maybe that had issues and they had to wait for some base profile or whatever. I don't understand how surround sound is completely implemented from start to finish. Like I know there's some baseline stuff that comes from the Dolbies of the world, but then there's also the stuff that is built by the platform holder. Mm-hmm. So I think there must have been something to cause multiple platforms to have the issue at the same time. But it's good that Google was able to fix it, because, man, was that really annoying.
Would that be on your TV or on the, like, Google TV or Chromecast or whatever? Because, like, I've Chromecast, never connected my TV to the internet.
Yeah, I think it's a Chromecast issue. It's like whatever received those updated Dolby profiles or whatever. I've never done audio coding before, so I don't know what surround sound looks like from a programmer standpoint. Mm-hmm. But it was just really odd to me how it happened on a bunch of different platforms, not just Stadia, at the same time. So it made me think that maybe with the new Dolby Vision for gaming stuff that they pushed out, maybe there's some baseline profiles that caused issues across all these different systems. Again, I could be just speaking completely out of my butt, because I've never done this programming before, so I don't have any knowledge of how it's done. But it was really weird how it all happened. I'm glad that it's fixed, because I had to turn surround sound off on my Chromecast with Google TV, my Shield TV, like every device that I could toggle it off. And then I had to go into Stadia and toggle it off before I could actually hear people talking without having to have their face over here so that I could actually hear them when they're talking.
Yeah. Mr. Chip in chat says, Bill already nailed it. They need to add audio ducking and make it easy to just go live from the couch. Talking about something that we talked about in the past, with getting your submix for my voice and my game when I'm going live. I will say this. I've done experimentation and I figured it out. If you, and I might say it wrong, turn your voice way up in the settings, turn the game audio way down in the settings, but leave your master volume all the way up, and it kind of fixed it for me. So hopefully that helps you out, Mr. Chip.
That's interesting.
So big thank you to the people who are throwing super chats our way during the show. We really do appreciate that. The first one comes in from Jay Dangle. Oh, no, that's not the first one. I'm going backwards. Jay Dangle said a $1.99 super chat. Thank you very much for the support. We do appreciate it. He had a little arrow pointing up for some reason, trying to see what he was referring to. Or maybe he was just holding up your number one finger or whatever. Dinshaw Dastur sent in a super chat as well. I don't recognize the currency, but thank you very much. Rupee. He says, what's that?
Indian rupees.
You just know that?
I know that just from searching it before, but then they also clarified that it's Indian rupees.
Oh, okay. So I have too many windows open. But thank you very much, Dinshaw. He said, you guys are gentlemen. Well, thank you. You are awesome. And then Chris sent in a super chat as well for $8. They said, thanks for all your informative and entertaining content. You two will always get my vote for the most handsome duo Streamo award. Well, I think Lloyd's doing the heavy lifting there, but thank you very much for that, Chris. And then we had some members, Sir Taco Bell, Brian Daniel, Arcane Cypher, and Anthony Garcia all became members recently. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Anything that you want to talk about before we wrap up the show, Lloyd?
No, I think that's it. I'm looking forward to the time when I can play some more games. So hopefully that will happen this week, because there's so many great pro titles that just dropped. I want to dig through some of them as well.
We have this embarrassment of riches right now, where there's just so many fantastic games to play that I cannot. This is something that maybe I make a video about in the near future, but we have so many games to play right now that when game X doesn't come to my a platform that I have, I just don't care. So, like, I don't have a PlayStation 5. My son has a PS5. I don't have a PS5. I can go down and play his, but I never do. But I don't have a PS5, so I can't play Spider-Man. I can't play God of War. I've heard nothing but fantastic things about them, but I don't have them. But guess what? It's not like I'm, like, itching for games to play that I just have so many games to play all the time that it's not that big a deal for me to miss out on something. And people are always saying, well, Stadia doesn't have this and Stadia doesn't have this, but it has that, and that, and they're really good games and you should check them out. So I think that's just something to keep in mind when people are saying that you know, Stadia doesn't have this or that. And Anthony Talcott, thank you very much for that super chat. We do appreciate it. Definitely. Man,
Definitely. Yeah. The one thing that's worrying me this week is Halo comes out in 3 days. So I know my life is about to take a turn for the better or worse. I don't know, depending just based on free time, because I think that is going to be all I'm playing. I'm such a fan of the Halo franchise and not multiplayer. I haven't played a lot of multiplayer recently, but I can't wait to get into the story of Halo Infinite. And that's going to impact all the other gaming I want to do. It's just, as you said, Bill, just a complete and utter embarrassment of riches based on all these I don't know, Game Pass and Stadia Pro and all the other stuff that is happening. I'm not even buying the games a lot of the times because of they're on these subscription services, and they're taking up all my time for games that I want to actually give money to the developers and play. I just don't have the time. I need to split myself in two. What was that movie where
Multiplicity?
Multiplicity. I need multiple Lloyds that can play these games. The only problem is I wouldn't be able to then take that experience and put it in my in Lloyd Prime's brain. So I don't think that's going to work out the way I hope.
I like pizza, Steve. That's all I have to say about that. I 100% agree with that. And the last thing I'll say before we get out of here is, if you're looking for people to play Halo with, join our community Discord. We've been playing a lot of Halo multiplayer, even though Lloyd won't join us. I've never cared about Halo. I have a really large amount of hours in Halo multiplayer in the last 2 weeks. It's been so fun. So get in there and hang out with us. Nerdnest.tv/Discord if you haven't already joined. Bunch of people in there waiting for you to yep. hang out with us.
100%.
Right. There we go. I'm going to end the show there, and you all have an awesome day.